W dzisiejszym odcinku porozmawiamy o machine learningu w Allegro. Porozmawiamy w sposób nietypowy, bo po angielsku. W jaki sposób Allegro współpracuje ze środowiskiem akademickim? Jakie są różnice w kontekście uczenia maszynowego pomiędzy środowiskiem startupów i korporacji? Oraz jak udaje się nam efektywnie operować na ogromnej ilości danych i milionach parametrów? Nazywam się Jakub Dowgirt i zapraszam do słuchania. Witam Was serdecznie w kolejnym odcinku Allegro Tech Podcast. Mam dzisiaj bardzo nietypowego gościa, Ricardo Belluzzo, Research Engineera. Cześć, Ricardo.
Cześć, Kuba. Cześć wszystkim.
Czy możesz mi powiedzieć, zanim zaczniemy naszą rozmowę, parę słów na swój temat?
Mam na imię Ricardo i pracuję jako inżynier badań w Allegro, w zespole Machine Learning Research. Jestem Włochem i mieszkam w Polsce już od 4 latach i jak widzicie, trochę mówię po polsku, ale na dzisiaj myślę, że lepiej będzie gadać po angielsku, chyba że chcecie umrzeć ze śmiechu.
Tak jak powiedział Ricardo, właśnie dzisiejszy odcinek będzie o tyle nietypowy, że przełączymy się teraz na angielski i już dalsza część rozmowy odbędzie się po angielsku. Okay, switching to English. Ricardo, before we actually get into the actual topic, I wanted to ask you a bit about your working history in Allegro. How long have you been working?
Oh, so this is a kind of easy question, but the answer can be interesting because I actually started working in Allegro during the first week of March 2020. And if you start thinking about it and getting a little bit back in the past, this was a critical week for the world. So basically, I lived the pre-pandemic Allegro only for a couple of weeks. And then, lockdown started. And when it comes to how much, so it's basically these 2 years and a half. And I'm planning to stay much longer.
I think the funniest bit about that is that I remember specifically those first weeks of March, and everyone was pretty sure that it's going to be like month, maybe a quarter tops, and it's going to all end. And here we are almost 2 years later. And before coming to Allegro, what have you done? What's your professional history?
Okay, so when it comes to my professional history, I'm the guy that is coming from the startup ecosystem, let's say, because my experiences before Allegro were all in this setting. I'm Italian, as I said, but I work really little in Italy because when the first experience was in Barcelona, in a startup that was working in the IoT field. So that was a good fit because I'm a telecommunication engineer by education. So I was a lot into signal processing and this stuff. And actually I continue working on this in my second notable experience as machine learning engineer in Poland, in Poznan specifically, where I worked in a really interesting startup. And there I was machine learning engineer working on analysis and processing of signals coming from a digital stethoscope that was aimed to basically recognize automatically if the patient as some breath or heart phenomena diseases. And one interesting thing about this is that those patients were actually children because it was meant for being a pediatric application. And there I learned a lot of things, really. It was a nice time. But yes, all my experiences were in startups. Allegro is a bit different in these terms.
I remember when we kind of prepared for this discussion, when you mentioned for the first time the startup that was working on the heart and lungs phenomena, that sounded really cool. So I'm wondering, the most exciting thing in those roles that you held before Allegro?
Well, especially in this experience, what I really liked was that I was really in the middle between this signal processing team and the machine learning team. So I was putting on practice, like the knowledge that I learned in the university, but then like having a practical perspective and implementing those algorithms. But also for me, it was the first time that I was involved in kind of high level researches. And I was there, started working as a research engineer because the startup was involved in some investments that counted European fundings. So we were actually kind of obliged to show to the world what we were doing. So publishing to the scientific community our findings. I really learned how to conduct a research there. And I think that this was the major achievement in general, really, what I really liked about that job. And I looked for a position as a research engineer exactly because I liked to to be a little bit researcher and a little bit engineer.
So then you joined Allegro, and I'm also wondering kind of what's the difference? So how can you combine those both worlds, the startup environment and then working for a larger company like Allegro?
Well, it's a really good question, and I asked the same question to myself back in those days because I was kind of afraid to enter something that from outside could be seen as a corpo. But really, and here I'm not joking, I'm not trying to sell out something about Allegro, but here I really believe that there is a kind of a startup culture. I feel that even if it's a big company, you can, like, really, my job, my work is really similar to when I was in startups. Maybe because someone already did this metaphor, and I think it's really worth to repeat it. Like, if you think about other big companies that are competitors to Allegro, they are like super big space shuttles that are slowly moving in the space, kind of destroying or absorbing planets around there. While Allegro is just like a quick and really fast spaceship that can fly and innovate. So it's like Allegro, yeah, it's big, but it's still small enough to be quickly innovating and adapting what they are meant to do.
Okay, you mentioned that you're a research engineer, and I'm pretty sure that not everyone listening to us right now knows what does that role is about. So can you tell me what you do as a research engineer?
As the name suggests, I'm a bit researcher and I'm a bit engineer. In general, if I had to give a definition, I would say that we are really R&D flexible figures in the company because we can adapt when there is something to do that requires a lot of engineering skills. For example, optimizing a problem, a pipeline where a lot of technical work is involved. But if we are asked for solving a kind of abstract problem, like this is our problem, can you do something for us? So here, the starting point, it's a research. We need to know what other people did in similar situations. So we need to kind of extrapolate the information from papers and adapt it for the Allegro domain. And this is when the researcher part comes. And yeah, in Allegro, we do this. And specifically, actually, I'm researching the engineer under the PCS department, where PCS stands for Product Catalog Services. So I'm doing this type of work meant especially for optimizing and improving the product catalog of Allegro.
And what would be the things or the characteristics that you mostly enjoy in your job?
So for sure, I like the fact about being so flexible because really, if for your attitude and your personal skills, you are a better engineer rather than a better researcher, it's possible to act like this, at least in my team, but I know that this is the same also for the other teams under the machine learning research. And I really enjoyed this from the real beginning. Plus also, something that I really enjoy is that in Allegro, we really do science, but using a practical perspective, let's say, because if you look at when working in academia, many times the research that you do is meant for publishing a paper, for example. In Allegro, the starting point is the same. And I mean, we also start from a paper, but then our goal is not like publishing an improvement over that theoretical aspect, but it's like applied in practice using real data, offer description written by humans, not some abstract type of data. So that's what I really like. We really do science, but with a practical perspective.
And I would assume then that kind of the topics or the projects that you're working on in Allegro kind of allows you to combine those both worlds. So kind of have a scientific or academic approach to actual tangible data.
Yeah, it is. Maybe I have a comment on this. Could be seen a critic, but it's a critic that is shared by many others, so it's not only me that is saying this, but if you look at academia, sometimes really they are focusing on some achievements that are shown and benchmarked on some data sets that are somehow obsolete. There is a famous data set that consists of recognizing human digits, and I can understand that this was a difficult problem for the computer vision community 20, 30 years ago. but there are still papers that are published saying we achieved this score on this dataset. In my opinion, the good thing about working in research in industry is that you're not focusing on proving these on kind of abstract problems, but really you take some real data, noisy data, because we know that if the data is coming from humans, let's say, we need to account for some imperfections. But then you really can say about like real performances of these algorithms and put them in production. So I like this aspect that we focus on these practical objectives.
Okay, so we discussed what you like, and then I'm wondering, was there anything that you found surprising when you joined Allegro? Especially that, I mean, I can assume that you do have a bit of a different perspective that a lot of us poll. So I wonder, what were the things that surprised you in any way?
I don't know if you mean something that surprised me in a negative way.
Both, I would say. Okay. I mean, I would be interested in actually both.
Okay, so if I start from a positive side, it's still related to my daily work, and it's about I think the diversity that there is in the teams, because really I was thinking that I was mainly working with software engineers with some machine learning background, but it's not like this, because my teammates comes from, I don't know, the chemistry domain or physics. I work with other PhDs or I work with other super experienced software engineers. So in this sense I was surprised, and I in love with the situation, because we really share different opinions and always the brainstorming sessions are so fruitful for this. Then if I think about some kind of negative aspect, if we can call it like this, I must say that, yes, since we are in a bigger company, maybe the decisions and the moment when you will see your model put in production is a bit more delayed if compared to startups. And also because sometimes the business goals can change along the project. And this is also related to the fact that conducting a research project in an industry setting can be misunderstood by some people, because research, if since it's a scientific process, needs to account for failures also. Like sometimes we have some theories and we hope that they will work, but maybe they fail, and then we need to correct the direction that we took. So in a company like Allegro, sometimes this can delay the moment when the model will be out there.
But on that note, I also wonder, because I can imagine that for many companies, for many environments, the cooperation between business people and academia or science or kind of research people can be a bit of a struggle. How does that look in Allegro?
Okay, so still, I think it's, like, I agree with you. I think this will be always a problem, like, people coming from two different worlds and sometimes they cannot properly communicate. But in Allegro, I think that we are kind of well organized, because we have some figures that they are called something like AI project manager that are tech people. So they understand really well us engineers and researchers. So they kind of, they are proxies for the management, and they really help us to communicate with them. In general, I don't have really bad experiences up for the moment. For sure, in Allegro, there is a lot about transparency. And before, like, going close to the end of the project with high probability of failure, we prefer to stop much before and say, okay, guys, I'm not understanding this, let's clarify it. So I really think that in Allegro, we are really cool in this, especially thanks to these like counterparts that we have, these AI project managers. And from my experience, it's not the same in other companies. So engineers struggle much more to communicate with the management, and there are many pitfalls sometimes.
And there is one last aspect that I'm wondering, because I'm not a data scientist by no means, but what I did do as part of my job is I'm actually in charge of doing the onboarding presentation. And one of the things that kind of brought my attention is the sheer amount of data in, I think it's petabytes at that point, that we have in Allegro. How are we actually coping with that? And is it even possible to actually effectively work on such a huge amount of data?
Well, yes, but obviously it requires like a huge technical effort. The cool thing about Allegro is that always when you develop a solution, an algorithm, a model, you will always know that you are on the regime of big data. And this, so on one side, yeah, it's like you need to face huge technical problems. It won't be that you just press enter and your model will be training. No, you will do it maybe in a distributed setting using cluster of machines because you need to distribute the workload between machines. So this is one aspect. But on the other side, if you are into machine learning in general, you will know that data really matters, especially the amount of data. So actually, personally, it's the first time in my life that I see that such models really work. Why? Because we have millions of examples that we can train on. And having this amount of data is a kind of privilege sometimes, because if you really want an application that works in real life, you need to make it general. You need to show the algorithm a lot of examples. And if you have a lot of data, you will do it. But yes, this comes with the cost of being able to do it with solving all these technical issues.
You started getting a bit into your actual job. So now the time has come for me to actually ask you, can you give me any specific example of a project that you would be working on that kind of shows what you do in your everyday job?
If I have to think about an interesting task that I did, it's actually, again, about these big models using a lot of data, because I was involved last year in the training of a big language model that was meant to fit and understand the language that we speak in Allegro. So here I need to clarify a couple of things, because so what is a language model? Both in the machine learning community and maybe in the linguistic community, a language model is a model that somehow is able to understand a language. So being a little bit technical, but not too much, if we think about the language as a set of symbols that appear one after the other with some certain probability, a language model is basically something that learns the distribution probability underlying the language. So you may ask why we want something like this in Allegro. And the reason is that current natural language processing techniques are relying on such language models, because these language models can be used to kind of bootstrap and build representations of the text that you are working with. And then this representation can be kind of specialized to solve a specific task. So why we want to do this in Allegro? Because in Allegro, we do speak Polish, but it's a particular type of Polish. It's an e-commerce Polish. That's why how we define it. Because we are speaking Polish, but using a lot of terms related to the product description, for example. So the vocabulary is less rich in that sense. And in the literature, it's proven that it's really convenient for you to fine-tune your language model to fit a specific domain. So we did this. So we learned the language spoken in Allegro, and we train a huge model, a neural network counting millions of parameters, using millions of offers. Specifically, it was 120 million, if I remember well. It was a huge project, and actually, a lot of details of such projects were presented by myself in one of the Allegro tech meetings. You can find the presentation on YouTube if you're interested in knowing how you can basically train the language model for your specific domain. And yes, it was a really cool project because it involved aspects of research, because we were using state-of-the-art models coming, for example, from the research of Google researchers. And at the same time, solving these technical problems of training such big neural network using a cluster of virtual machines, where you have to deal with problems like what about if one of these machines die along the way? What can we do about the training? Should we resume it? How can we resume this training? So it was really an interesting project. And the Allegro language model is up running in production, and millions of users use application where this language model is basically under the hood doing stuff.
And as I understand, this is a model which is available openly. So it's like we are allowing it or kind of distributing it as an open source model.
Yes and no, because what I just described to you was a kind of fine-tuning of a model for specifically Allegro data. So actually, we could not release something that is trained on such privacy data. But yes, we have released a similar model. And actually, this is really a great achievement by my colleagues, because they were the first one releasing for the open source community, and in general, the scientific community, such big language model trained for Polish. Because you can find such models for English, for French, for Italian, for other like high resourced languages, but we were the first one publishing it for the Polish. It was a huge model trained, for example, on Wikipedia articles in Polish or Academia Corpus taken from the like Polonistica department in Warsaw. Now I don't remember the details, but yes, it's there, open source. People are using it, both industrial practitioners, both researchers. And I invite all the listeners that are interested in this to read the paper. I think the link will be provided somewhere. Or in general, you can look for Herbert, because this is the name that we gave to this model.
That's what I actually wanted to ask as the last one. Is it after the Polish famous poet? I would assume that that's why it's called Herbert.
Yeah, I think so. And also because this model, these language models are all based on these findings made by Google that published a model that is named BERT, that stands for bidirectional encode representation from transformers. So it's like a actual thing, but the people in the community started to basically invent names like Albert, Herbert, Ricardo Bert. Like you could invent, given that for each letter that you use, there will be a meaning, like a tech meaning. So it's really funny.
Cool. So it's not only efficient, it's also fun to name
it's
that.
It's a nerdy thing, for yeah. sure.
I understand that this might be a difficult question because you're less into business, more into academia, and business is all about measuring. But I wonder, do you measure, and if so, how do you measure the effectiveness of what you actually do?
Well, this is a nice question, and the answer is a bit tricky because it's a bit difficult sometimes for us to measure what we do for two reasons. So the first one is, as I told you before, sometimes we are really spending a lot of time doing experiments. And how can you measure like experiments from the business point of view? Like sometimes really we struggle to communicate with the management that we are spending a lot of time on this. And they were asking why. And we were showing them, look, this is a model, for example, without experiments. And this model reached this accuracy, these metrics. After months of researching, of trying different parameters and doing other stuff, we reached this much better accuracy. So in that sense, we were able to show them that it's worth to do experiments. But if we go higher to the levels, let's say, it could be more difficult to say, to prove that experiments are needed. So sometimes it's a bit tricky for us. On the other hand, when our models are in production, we are lucky to have some data analysts sometimes that are doing the job for us. So for example, computing some aggregated metrics that are really impacting the Allegro business. For example, the amount of active users that are using that application, and so how much this is converted to actual profit. So we have such visualizations sometimes for models, but this is a, like a really late stage of the life cycle of our project. Only when we reach the state of being in production and being backed by a technical team and data analysis team that is able to provide this, we are able to actually see a number that proves that our algorithm is working and doing something.
As part of those discussions, we are not only discussing our everyday job, but also, I mean, Allegro as a community, as an employer. So I wonder, if I were to ask you to tell me something that kind of for you makes or shows that Allegro is unique in any way, or kind of that it's basically, what would encourage our listeners to come to Allegro in your mind?
I want to enforce again my comment about the diversity, because really for me this was a game-changing thing. I really enjoy in general to talk with people coming from different backgrounds, but not only when it comes to machine learning. Really also in the kitchen, you know, when you are talking about your experiences, and this is very much something that in Allegro is present, at least. Maybe it's present also in other companies, but really, I really like it. Then, honestly, What I really like about Allegro, and I feel it on my skin, is a really good life-work balance. Listening to other people working in other big companies in Poland, this is not always obvious. I can split my day as I want. I can come to the office when I want. I can work more remotely when I want. So in general, really, I don't feel the pressure totally. And when it comes to remote working, because it's another point, and I think this is peculiar of Allegro, is the fact that my team is inherently distributed because we have offices all over Poland. So even if before pandemic, let's say, I was already used to work remotely because my teammates, some of them are in Krakow, some of them are in Warsaw, some of them in Torun. So I had to learn how to collaborate with them already remotely. And this is a nice thing because basically you get used to it from the real beginning. And then if you want to apply in the future for a full remote job, you will be already used to such type of work and it won't affect you for sure.
Okay, so at the end of each episode, I'm asking every guest the same set of three questions. The first one is, we have a slogan which says dobrze tu być, or it's good to be here. If I were to ask you, like in two sentences, why?
Wow, I was not prepared for this. So, well, if I have to think about it, I will say that Allegro is like a startup corpo, something like this. So in that sense, here you can have the same freshness of working innovative projects from scratch, innovating and doing something for that really will make the difference out there. Because in this sense, if we talk about being research engineer, what we do here is practical science. So dobrze tu być in this sense.
Okay. And then the second question, which I also like a lot because some really weird stuff comes out of it. What was the weirdest thing you bought on Allegro?
It's not that weird, but still interesting. I think it was a Dracula vampire costume for Halloween because I'm a Halloween fan. And I remember it was a last minute boat because I had to go to this party. I wanted to have something. And in one day delivery, the costume was there and this saved the day for me.
That's all I have to say, that the next day delivery worked. And then the third thing, I mean, if someone after listening to our discussion would like to follow up, ask you some questions or basically get in touch with you, where can you be found?
I think the main channel is LinkedIn because I'm pretty active there. I like to post our research findings. This is a particular note for all those that are interested in our research because there I'm posting a lot of updates. But at the same time, if you're really interested in following us in this sense, we have a specific landing page under the Allegro Tech domain. So you can Google for us. You can type Allegro Tech. You will find the website. And there is the specific section about machine learning research. And there you can find blog posts about our job, videos, presentations, our research papers published in the conference venues and all this stuff. So you can look for us there. And then I remind you also that if you're interested in knowing more about, for example, language models training, specifically for your domain, I made a presentation for Allegro Tech meeting. It's out there in YouTube. You can find it. And also, along with that presentation, we published an open source repository where basically you can take the code that is there and use it to bootstrap your language model training for your application. So it's kind of cool because it's a starting point that you can use if you have this problem.
Ricardo, thank you very much for this awesome talk. I'm really glad that we had this opportunity and I'm keeping my fingers crossed for kind of getting your research as far as just possible.
Thanks a lot, Kuba. It was really cool. And actually, I hope I will come back here to tell you even much more about our research.
Thank you very much.